I'm not against him breathing on somebody and them feeling better. I've seen him do that a lot. But I want to give them truth. I don't want them clean and swept and unoccupied. I want them clean and swept and filled with truth. You know what I mean? Honestly, he's the Spirit of truth, and the Word is Spirit and life. You can say, you know, you can say you're going to soak and get filled with the Spirit. But the lack of the truth in your life could make you like a balloon that's not tied. So you leave the atmosphere of soaking, and here's what you're doing through the week. Emptying out. And now you got to go back and soak. And I thought we were to live by the Spirit. That literally means live by the truth. Come on, we make it a ooh thing, living by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit is living by the truth. Okay? Spirit of truth. God and the Word are one. Holy Spirit won't come in His own authority. He'll only say that which He hears. That's amazing. That's honoring God the Father. Even Jesus said, because he breaks up the Trinity in the sense of three persons, but yet He's one. Why? Because they're one in agreement. Even He says, I'll go to the Father, and He is greater than I. He makes comments like that. God the Father, come forth from, everything came forth from Him. Isn't that awesome?
Ooh, just make you shudder. This is good.
Okay, we're ready to roll. I opened this little scripture. I was just going to spring off of it and share a little point. And now I'm thinking, will we get through it? No, we will. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I think it's fun. Okay, let's pick up where we were. Now, we said a lot. We got on a roll there. We said a lot. It's recorded. We got things written down. But I want you to see something here. How God sees us and the message God sent through Jesus. And how could we send any other message if we're following Jesus? Okay. So the way you evangelize, the way you minister, the way you multiply is right here. It's just crystal, crystal clear. Watch this. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So from now on, we hit that hard. Who? No one. We regard no one. Remember how I said, if you regard no one according to the flesh, don't regard yourself either according to the flesh. We're just talking in the break. Worldly standards, worldly expectations, things that are in and kosher, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what words you want to use. Things that are just cool and accepted, and things, standards the world sets. You have to be very careful. It's not according to the flesh that you're living. I know Christians that have gotten pulled into sin because they felt like they're missing something in the world. Now watch. If you entertain that thought and don't clip that through union and communion, fellowship with God, and establish your surrender to Him and thank Him that to know Him is to be filled with all the fullness, that luster won't die. It'll actually get a grip on you. It'll draw you. But I promise you, fellowship with God, that luster will fade. It will destroy that thing. And you'll know that you're not missing nothing. You're not missing nothing. Who did I hear say it? I think it was Bill Johnson on tape. He said, what do I want to do with sin? He said, what do I even want sin for? He says, it's like having third shoe. What? Somebody said it was like a third shoe sin, and I thought, that's cool. But you know, there's people like, yeah, but everybody's having fun. I'm thinking, man, if you're a Christian and you're not having fun, you just totally don't understand. You're just trying to follow a rule and a principle and a way of life so you're rewarded one day with heaven. If you're not having fun. Because having fun is just knowing Him. See, everything comes out of knowing Him. Knowing Him is having fun. Knowing the Lord. So would it be safe to say that the number one thing that we're lacking, if anything, is God reality in our lives? The number one thing we're lacking, God reality in our lives. Because if God's real, then that's what matters. Come on, that's just straight. That's not condemning. So we're all growing to know him more. So the level I know him is the level I live and manifest him. There's areas in my life that I need to know him in and receive fullness in areas. There's things that there's to know his love is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So some people might know that he's real in the way of taking care of their finances. He's real in the way of answering certain lines of prayer. He's real when I pray for somebody's hurting knee. But when it comes to you as a personal individual, he has to be your father, and you have to have this and love exchange. And do you know what I'm saying? Man, ministers that slip into stuff, they've either never developed, they've either rode ministry as their identity for a season, or they've stepped out of intimacy and relationship with God to where something gained a voice and power in their life again. You can't just do things in the face of God reality. Like I can't just do things. I'm not even thinking that. But that's because God's real. If God would wane, if I wouldn't stay in a place of knowing him in union and continue and take earnest heed of the things I've heard, it would slip away. Sooner or later, flesh would gain momentum. That old man would raise from the dead. In some way, shape, or form, what was fulfilled in me wouldn't be if I wasn't in touch with him. Look, knowing the love of Christ is the fullness of God. So if I don't stay in touch with the love of God and receive it and continue to become it and manifest it and receive it and become it, I would lose that place of fullness. Something wouldn't be fulfilled. Because the love is what fulfills me. It's not a doctrine. It's a relationship. Saying God loves me doesn't change your life. It's getting alone with him and believing it and reading the word and putting yourself, and seeing and exchanging communion and talking to the Holy Spirit and looking at yourself through him. You get it? Why else would Paul write again and again the same things? He said, for me to write the same things, Philippians 3, for me to write the same things to you again and again is not tedious for you, it's a safeguard. Why would he write the same thing again and again? So people continue to walk in truth, so they continue to stay free. Right? Take earnest heed. Peter, in 2 Peter 1, he actually preaches who we are because of him, and then to add things to our faith to continue to grow. And he talks about knowledge and self-control and brotherly kindness and love. And he says, if we'll do these things, it says, we'll never stumble. Did you ever read that? People are like saying, man, we're gonna miss it. We'll look at that next if you want to. We'll look at it. He says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. He said, if you fail to do these things, you're short-sighted, even to blindness, and forgetting you've been cleansed of all your sins. In other words, the fact that my sins are removed is a Yahoo day. I have a right to him. I'm a brand new man. I am not judged, not condemned. I'm not less than. I'm not compared to you. And there's nothing you have that I'm missing now that I'm forgiven of all sin. I'm here. I'm in righteousness. Do you get it? If you forget that you're forgiven of all your sins, you're going to still live by the flesh. It still has a voice. At the end of that chapter, he says, I write these things to you, even though you know them and are established in them. But for you, it's safe that I write this. Isn't that amazing? And here's what the church can do. Oh, well, I heard that sermon before. It's exactly what we do. Well, why doesn't he get something fresh, brother? Man, Pastor didn't even give us nothing fresh this week. That'd be like Apostle Peter writing the transformation of our life. He penned it in 2 Peter chapter 1 is one of the most impacting, chock full. It's one of them chapters, if you just tear it out and that's all you have enough. It's just that kind of chapter. And you read that, and it would be like you sitting in a service and the Apostle Peter is preaching that, and you think, man, didn't he just preach this last month? It's the same word. Man, he mustn't have been in prayer. He needs to get something fresh for us. We need a fresh word, brother. No, you need to become the word, and it'll always be fresh. Because we're not here to stroke your knowledge. I'm not here to fascinate your knowledge and stroke your knowledge.
So don't be coming and ask for some fresh word, brother. Even Jesus said this new commandment, or John said this new commandment, it isn't old, it's the same one you had from the beginning. But he preached it as a new commandment. Right?
Man. So please don't ever get trapped in that whole doctrinal thing, just need a fresh word. No, you become the word God's given you, and you'll rejoice in it. Amen. I went to a Catholic mass one time and I actually said amen about 3 times and got excited and realized I was out of order. Cause I was like, man, what's this going to be like? And when I got there, I was so refreshed because I heard Christians talking about Catholics and Methodists and different and old dry bones and this and that. And yet these Christians that say this stuff a lot of times have so many of their own struggles and they think that what they're a part of identifies them instead of knowing him and being free. So just because you go to somewhere where they preach in tongues, then somebody that doesn't is religious and dry. It's a good way to assure you'll be religious and dry if you have that mentality. It's not like that. Some of those people have a greater disposition than spirit-filled people ever manifest. So it's knowing him. Oh man, I'm on all kinds of topics here. I'm like, But see, you just don't want to get caught in that stuff. That's just, so I go to a Catholic mass and I have the idea that they're traditional and religious. I'm only saved 3-4 years maybe, and I was actually asked to speak in the middle of that mass on behalf of a family where a child had just died. And the priest saw me back in the dressing room. He's putting on all his garments and stuff, and I asked him if I might even said, "Are you the pastor?" I was so young in the Lord. I don't. And he's like, "I'm Father so and so." Oh, okay. And it felt weird. I don't even think I called him Father. It just seemed, I was just like, "Oh, okay." And he said, "Who are you?" And I told him, he said, "Oh, you're the gentleman that they asked to speak." I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." I'm like, "This is what you got, you know?" And he said, "So exactly what are you going to say?" I said, "Man, I don't have a clue." I said, "That's just the way I roll. I just figured I'll know when I get up there, man." And he said, "Okay." It was so funny. Oh, it was funny. Because they're traditional. But that doesn't mean he's not a holy man. That doesn't mean that he doesn't do what he does in holiness. So now he's concerned. He's looking at me. You could see it in his eyes. And I thought, I'm probably not loving him real well right now. But I didn't know what to tell him. And I was so naive that I said to him, I said, "Well, you know, whenever you want me." He said, "Well, when do you want to speak?" I said, "Man, I don't know what you're doing today. So you're the one that knows where I'll fit. If you even feel like I'll fit, I'm just here to oblige the family." But he's probably thinking, "You don't fit." He said, "I'll tell you what would be the best time." He said, "But now I you can't take more than 5 minutes." And I'm like, "Not a problem." Said that by faith. I said, I took 4 minutes. Dick, I was so good. I took 4 minutes. I gave him back a minute. Yeah, I did. I took 4 minutes. I know you don't believe that, but that's all right. You can repent of your unbelief later. You know, or you can answer for it before heaven someday. You'd say, God will say, "I have this one thing against you." He'll say, "For I see you've run well and you've done this and you've built this, but I have this one thing against you. You didn't believe Dan took 4 minutes." But he did. Now enter in. I can almost see that played out right now. He said, "You speak right after the Eucharist." And I went, I had no idea. I had no clue. And he could see it in my eyes. I'm like, okay. And why you don't just say Eucharist? Because I felt like I was supposed to know that. And I didn't. I just thought, "I'll figure this out. God, you'll help me. He'll just, you know, I don't know." And he said, "Holy Communion?" "Oh, yeah, yeah. Communion. Okay." And all of a sudden my spirit man went, zzz, got excited because I realized I'm stepping up there on the heels of communion. This is just your grace for me, God, in the midst of a Catholic mass that I'm believing is going to be traditional and dry. That's what I was believing. I went in there believing that because that's the connotation I had just through language. because I was never at a Catholic church. I went in and sat down, and I saw Holy Spirit through the whole service. I saw significance. I heard the gospel through the whole thing. I was so refreshed and excited. That's why I amened a couple times. I was like, yeah, amen. And now people were like, settle down. Settle down. You know? But it was amazing because it's life, but it can become traditional. It's what you do with your heart. Because to those people, that's all they knew, and they weren't even seeing what I was seeing. Most of them weren't. And I'll tell you why that's not a judgment. Because after I preached for 4 minutes, I got bombarded. I got attacked. As soon as that thing was over and everybody was heading out, I had more people around me than I could see through. And they wanted to know what was going on when I was speaking and what was happening in their hearts and what they were feeling. They ran to me. That tells me sincere, God-fearing, open-heart, God-loving people. So don't you judge folks based on what name people have given each other. I was in a wedding and it was predominantly Catholic in attendance and the Spirit of God came. He actually knocked, it's on video, he knocked the best man over that was backslidden and the next person, they fell into each other. He came over my shoulders. I felt the wind of God go, whew, surround them because of what we taught. And she cried and realized God was excited to be at her wedding, that she wouldn't have to invite him and he wouldn't get back to her. Like I never RSVP, I never get back to people. I'm bad on that. It's terrible. But God doesn't even need an invite. He's coming where there's faith and love. And when I explained that to him, she bawled and bawled. I thought I said something wrong. I'm looking at him like, she just, woo-hoo! She couldn't recover. When I said about God, I was just talking. I said, and he will be so excited to come to your wedding because of where your hearts are today. And blah, 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 blah. And she went, wah! She's just bawling. It was the one thought that God Almighty would be excited to show up on her wedding. She took that so to heart. I said, honey, don't you realize you're giving yourself to one another? This is total gospel. This is all about, this is just like what Jesus did. This is a covenant. I was explaining covenant and vows and solemn, hard, earnest promise. And you're not coming to praise one another and starry eyed, oh, I love you. It's I give myself to you. And I'm teaching this and they're just, and I said, when your sister touches those keys, Holy Spirit will come. I made that declaration. And I said, and he's coming for one reason. To make you one. And this is how I taught it. I said, he will tie you together in your spirits and you will be one. And what God joins, no, we're preaching this, right? And I said, and that's when you'll actually be married. Not when I say officially, I now pronounce you man and wife. You'll already be. The people just won't know, but you will be. I said, we'll just say it for their sake. But I said, I'm going to explain to the people what's about to happen. We got to that point. It was the second wedding I'd ever done. We got to that point and her sister touched the keys and Holy Spirit, I'm talking, went whoo, literally. Whoo, and these two guys that were backslidden went. And I thought, oh, no, I thought they were going to wipe. I saw what happened. For a moment, my eyes opened. Holy Spirit came. He looked like a wind. That's all I can tell you. He's a person, but he had an appearance. It looked like wind that split. I watched it. Split, went around them, crossed over each other. Can you picture this? Split, crossed, and went. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it was going this way and this way. Because he split. And I watched that. And I went, oh, they're one. I didn't help matters. They're bawling. He's just there. They're bawling. Because I told him to get quiet and get their heart before the Lord. Go ahead, honey. You play people right now. We're going to do it. I said, go ahead. And I leaned in and went, I told you he would come. I just stoked the fire just a little. I didn't need stoked, but I thought, a little hotter will never hurt anybody. I just leaned in. Told you he would come. They're just like, this is God. She couldn't even recover. You know why that was so important? They joined like that. Whoa. Oh, I didn't even finish the story. When he was doing the spin thing, he came off of them, and here's how much he loves people. Phew. I saw this. He come off of them and went out over and wafted it out over the people. And it looked like he rained on the whole congregation. He went, and it was all over in that sense of the manifestation. And I'm standing there going, oh God. So we did finish the wedding. You know how the wedding, the bride and the bridegroom go out through and then everybody, the reception line, they all go congratulate. Nobody went out there. They're almost all Catholic. They're all sitting there like this in awe of God. They're in reverence for God because of what just happened. They just went right to me. What's going on? What did we just experience? What just happened there? We were never at a wedding like this. We don't know what happened. What's going on? And I explained, and they're like, oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I saw him just come over, and his presence come on all of us, because he made us to be his children. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm gardening again. I'm just Johnny Appleseed, baby. And they're like, oh. And then, but here's what was awesome. 9 months into their marriage, 9 months, they didn't resolve a conflict. They had a disagreement, and they didn't resolve it. They muted. 3 long days in the grave went by. Like 3 days. Tension you could cut with a knife. Young married couple, not even talking over one issue, unresolved. Waiting for someone to break or repent or get right or needing to be, you know, they just got deceived. They just got into this place where they got no resolve. 3 long days went by. On the 3rd day, she said out of anguish and pain, it was a heart cry. She said, you know, maybe they weren't even talking for 3 days. Just coming and going. It was horrible. It had to be terrible. She said, you know, maybe we just got married too young. We waited. We didn't wait long enough and we were just too young. We should have never gotten married. And she was just bawling. It was a heart cry. It was a young wife saying, please, let's settle this, is probably what she was trying to say. And she was hurt. He turned and looked at her and he said, you know, that can't be true right there. This is just us doing this. Because if what you said was true, he'd have never came the way he came. And she went, and they, and live happily ever after. That's years ago. They're married. They got a bunch of kids. The last I knew, they were elders in the church and doing very well. Why? Even in the midst of flesh trial and even not handling things right, the revelation of his will, the revelation of him and his smile and his kiss was the affirmation of their marriage to them.
Oh, you ought to do everything in the presence of God, huh?
or your flesh says, well, maybe we weren't supposed to get married in the first place. And all of a sudden, well, I don't know if God ever actually joined us. And I've heard that one way too many times too. Because of pain. Oh, that's a whole nother one. I'm in trouble. Okay, let's preach. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. So, here's how we know Jesus. We follow his earthly ministry. We serve him as Lord. He's Lord, we're not Lord. He's Lord of Lords, he's King of Kings. We follow his earthly ministry. So, what we regard in the flesh, as far as Jesus is the example we follow, but even now, we see him as Lord, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go in my name. What's he doing? He's making 2-1 and telling us to go. We covered this last week. So now we see Christ as name above every name. King of kings, Lord of lords, all authority, and Christ is in us, and now we go, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. Do you understand? You have to see him through the resurrection power. You have to see him for who he is. That everything, heaven, earth, and under the earth will bow at the name of Jesus. And yet he said, go in my name. It's huge. I'm not going to preach on that right now. I just want you to see that. Therefore, because of these things, if anyone, who?
Anyone.
anyone. We got to get this, church. This is the section of scripture I would encourage you to take and meditate on like we taught in the beginning of the school, and lift up your voice and let Holy Spirit make this your reality. Serious. If any man is in Christ, are you in Christ?
Yes.
Come on, I'm going to set you up now. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Then you're an absolute new creation. There's nothing lacking in you, nothing lacking about you. You're a child of God. You measure yourself by the world standards. You measure yourself by your own flesh. You'll be deceived. You're the will of God revealed. Yay. That's what makes me so goofy. I believe it. What I'm telling you, I believe. That's why I'm happy. All right? It's flaky or not, I don't care. I'm telling you. It's true. I'm a new creation. Are you?
Yes.
Okay. Not trying to be. You are. You have to start there. Don't try to be. You are. If you try to be, you'll reveal to yourself that you're not. You have to be to ever be empowered to do. Come on, we hit this over and over in the school early. It's always about the tree. It's not about the fruit. The fruit's not first. The tree's before the fruit. Stop trying to bear fruit to prove the tree. Be the tree and you'll bear the fruit. Make a tree good. Make a tree good. That means change its identity. Change its name. Change its root. I was in Adam. Now I'm in Christ. I was in the flesh. Now I'm in the spirit. I wasn't forgiven. Now I'm forgiven. I wasn't redeemed. Now I'm redeemed. I wasn't a son. Now I'm a son. You see? Make a tree good. And then what? Fruit will be good. The Bible says you are a new creation. Stop trying to be one. Accept it and say yay. And begin to thank God and accept that. And absolutely, Holy Spirit will begin to deposit grace and form you with grace to where your life will come into agreement with new creation reality. You will begin to live in a new way. Because you're being that first instead of trying to be that. Does that make sense? How else could we live by faith? The other way would be living by works, your own ingenuity, your own ability to perform. And then we'd have hot shots and low life. We'd have people that can and people that can't. Not in the sense that can. We'd just weigh the people that ran farther. And we'd honor them and be like, oh, it's all by grace. Paul said a man has nothing unless it's been given by God. That's why you have to be careful. I understand honor, and there's a place for honor in the sense of people yielding and receiving grace and walking out God in obedience. So there's a level of honor in that sense. But you have to be careful that God receives all honor, and understand the message of honor. But we wouldn't have nothing if God didn't give it. What I thank people for is their diligence, their discipline, their willingness to believe what God says about them. You know what I mean? Their labor of love in the sense of just yielding themselves and just fighting off the flesh and saying yes to God. That's commendable to me. Man, I appreciate who you're letting God mold you to be. I honor Him in you. I honor what I see. Thank you for being surrendered. Thank you for, do you know what I mean? But as far as gifts, gifts are straight from God. Gifts are just totally straight God. You don't have to, you can actually have a twisted identity and move in a gift.
Right.
And we see the gift and we make the people like gods. We have to be very careful. The gifts straight Jesus, man. When I see somebody perfected in love, I so want to honor that. When I see somebody walking in mercy and forgiveness, when I see somebody with true sincere joy, it blesses me. Why? Because I know they've been with Him and believe Him. And I thank them for that because that's good. You get it? Yeah. You know. Come on. If somebody prophesies, it's because the spirit of prophecy said, hey! If it's the gift of prophecy. Now I understand we can cultivate our spirit and grow to see and be in tune and in touch, and that we should all be doing that. But if somebody rises up and just prophesies, it's because you read the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Come on, the gospel understands this thing. It's not even the house, it's the builder of the house. It receives more honor than the house, it says. We get that backwards. We're just so thankful for the house we live in. We forget who built it. We just live in the house. It's not like that in the kingdom. We look at this house that we're living in, we realize who built it. And we give him honor. He receives more honor than the house. Right? Come on, it says that in Hebrews. So that's good, Dean. You're a builder. More honor than what you're building. Because if you didn't build it, it wouldn't be here. Do you see the principle? So what you honor is the talents God gives, the wisdom, the ability, the craftsmanship. So you look at the product, you go down, it fascinates me. He probably thinks I'm silly with it. I'm so non-like that. That when I see somebody take the old sanctuary and turn it into all them rooms and you walk in and can't even recognize the old sanctuary, and it's all this efficient rooms and it just looks like, and I'm like, Dean, this is crazy how you could just change this into all this. And to him, it's simple because he understands it, does it, knows it. Well, not that it's simple, but it took work. But you honor that in a person. And then what the Bible's saying is the man that did that, the one that built that, deserves more honor than the building, because without the ingenuity of the man that did that, there'd be no building. That's the simple principle. Now, that's not why he didn't build the building. So we go, Dean, you're amazing. But what it's saying is without that, so it's the same, that's in Christ. That's why God receives the honor, because he's the one that built. So just throwing some things out there. Therefore, if any man, anyone is in Christ, he is, I love how direct this is, then he is a new creature. End of discussion. Come on. Then he is. Okay. The biggest lie from hell in Christians most of the time is maybe someday or not quite yet, or maybe you will, or no, you never will be a new creation. Right? I'll tell you what matters the most in new creation. Your heart's changed enough to care. You have to build on the strength of a pure heart, that the gospel's given you a pure heart. People question their heart all the time. Well, I don't think my heart's pure. I wouldn't think this, or I wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't say that. Well, you wouldn't care so much if your heart wasn't pure. So stop judging yourself and trying to work this thing out in your own strength. And just lift your hands in your heart and begin to thank God that he's doing an amazing thing in you. You get what I'm saying? You've got to start there, guys. Why? Because it says, behold. Now that's symbolic. To me, this is just my interpretation. When I hear the word behold thrown in the middle like this, that's speaking of the power of God. It's not a magic word. It's pointing you to supernatural. Watch. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold. How'd that happen? It's God. But I still feel. And see, then people pursue ministry based on I still feel. The just live by faith, not by I still feel. Come on, follow me here. Because we, preachers defend a lot of the central ministry big time. And say, yeah, but not everybody, here, I hear this a lot. Dan, not everybody can believe what you're believing. What is that? The just live by faith, and every promise is to a believer. So now we're bowing out because we can't believe, and we're actually confessing to be unbelievers. Come on. I hear that a lot. I've had well-known men of God that if I'd name them, you'd know them. Try to tweak my preaching just a little in the sense of, hey, look, I hear what you believe in and say, but you have to understand, Dan, not everybody can just see it like you're seeing it. I'm like, you tell me where it's, you got to show me, friend, where it says that. I don't want to debate with you on this and get into some doctrinal dispute, but you tell me where it says that some can't come and have to come another way. See, because here's the deal. When you believe that, then you say, well, Mitch can't quite see. So then you try to bring Mitch through another way, and you never, you then you never make truth what it really is in his sight and give him the honor of just believing it. So when does truth ever hold the value that it has? If you're willing to shoot around it because of the weakness of a present soul or something. You continue in the Word. Know the... So the light comes on. Here's what we do. We'll labor for a week with somebody so, and we'll say, boy, I just don't think they're getting it. Maybe they need this. And then we fail to give them what they need. And we shift gears. Based on natural... Are you following me? This is my disciple indeed. He continues in my word. He knows the truth. And the truth makes him free. You came on my heart, Pam, this weekend. Big time, right out of the blue. That whole honey thing. And I just felt it was so simple. It was just God saying to treasure the word and begin to treasure the power of the word and the truth of the word like you never have before. And it'll be honey to your lips. It'll be like sweetness to your taste. Taste and see that he's good. Where there's so much, I felt like, dear, there was so much waiting for you in the word to be seen like you've never seen it. Where there's almost like a relationship with the word waiting for you because it's with God. And it's who he is. And when you find him there, you'll see yourself there. You can't find him there without finding you. And I just saw that honey thing came on me this weekend and I thought, that was so simple. It's like, wow, it's the honey in the word and it's like honeycomb. And it's like, whoa. And there's something about God. And it's not that he's correcting her, correcting you. If he gives you a word like that, he's showing you there's more. There's more of a treasure there than you realize. There's more of a value. Look closer. There's more of a sheen and a shine. It's cut even more beautiful than you realize. There's something there that's a treasure. And I just saw him what am I lacking? What do I need? It's more honey. Regarding the word for the sweetness it possesses and the beauty. You get it? Is this good? And I just believe there's a season like that where it's like, oh, where Pam and the Word become one. Not that you're some heady, blessed coming in and going out. We've painted a weird picture there over the years. People just the confession and the Word and knowing the Word and having really very little reality, very little disposition change, being just as angry, treat a waitress harsh, but quoting the whole scripture, you know? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking in to the heart of God through his word and seeing who he is. That's how I found him. I looked in there. He actually shared with me when I opened my Bible one day. He whispered in my spirit and he said, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. I was standing and I had my Bible open. I was ready to read and pray and he spoke. He whispered to my spirit and said, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here's what I heard. Dan, this is your face-to-face encounter with me. And no one looks into my face and lives.
I thought, oh my goodness. I look in here and I find out who he is and it exposes the lies about me. And that's when I look in here, this is where I die. That's when I die so that I can finally live. It's just so good. He said, and nobody looks into my face and lives. So I surrender to him and I submit to him and I yield to him as I see who he is because I find myself there because I see that he created me to be his son and one with him and manifest his presence. So when I see it about him, I wear it. And if it's not my reality, that's when it dies. That dies because my desire is oneness with him. So I'm looking into his face and I can't do that and live. I can't keep living. I have to die to myself if I look into him. Wow. You get it? No, you're not going to do that if you're not living by faith. If you're living by feelings and yell, but, and well, but they said, but I don't feel that way, brother. You say, God, this is for God so loved the world, but I don't feel loved. But I don't feel loved. That's what people will do, and they'll stay on that tangent. You have to be very careful that you don't let your heart get in that place, because sometimes it's the weirdest form of attention. Sometimes it's the only thing you feel like you're worth. It's the lowest form. It's just like,
Sometimes it just shifts into that, where people are just making a fuss in that line and they're drawing to themselves a weird thing. Like attention. You have to be very careful you never get trapped in stuff like that. Issues in your life where people are just, oh, honey, or oh, man, it's okay. You know, there's times you go through things, but you have to be careful that you don't get in a trap where 3 years from now, God forbid, that you just have that same issue. And you have all the word on it that ever is to be given, and you say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Do you know sometimes when you go to minister to people, the highest form of grace they're in a position to receive is just the fact that you came to see them and cared. And you have to take people deeper than that and beyond that. Bless you guys. It isn't my preaching, right, Alana? You got somewhere to be, right? Okay. Bless you. You're so good. That was good. No, yeah. You're awesome. We love you guys. But serious, you'll learn this stuff the more you reach out and touch people. There's times where just the fact that you did it is, but here's the key. Is it wrong then to do it? No. But you, in the process of doing it, you reveal to people why you did it and that, well, you have that value. Well, you're kidding, your daughter. And it puts their worth back in perspective. But the highest level of grace they could receive in the beginning is just the fact that you cared. But the reality is the only reason you care is because your heart's been changed. So you're actually caring, revealing that God cares. So it all goes back to Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? But to the individual, the highest form of grace they can see is, oh my goodness, nobody ever cared for me like that. You just made me feel so good because you really cared. Well, of course I care. Are you kidding? You're worth the blood. I love you. Yeah, I just felt loved. Well, yeah, that's because Jesus loved you. I'll tell people sometimes, man, you got to be kidding me. 15 years ago, I wouldn't even knew you were in the room. In fact, I wouldn't even been in the room. You get it? And I bring them to that reality to where it's not just the highest grace we receive is the natural affection we receive. You follow me? I'm going to pray for the sick, and they're not in touch with God anymore. They're hurting. They're sick. They're feeling a lot of things. And you walk in, and they just start bawling when they see your face. It's not because they believe, oh, God sent a messenger. So they thought, wow, Dan's here to see me, and I know he loves me. And you see it right away. It happens a lot. You'd be amazed. In situations, people dying, I'll sit by their bed and talk about that stuff if I perceive it. Because you don't want that stuff in people. It's wrong thinking. It's keeping them from laying there crying, knowing they're loved before I walk in the door. That's deception. You ought to already know that. Yeah. It's great when a person walks through the door to love you, but you're loved. This is the strength of your life. It's great when you love me, but you don't want to get yourself in a place where you have to have that to be okay. That's stuff I try to preach all the time. I scream that out. That's one of the hardest things we've got as a body to really get, because we so draw from one another. And it's good. It can be healthy, but it's not healthy if it's need. Because if it's need, then you're going to be hurt and disappointed and somebody won't measure up. And you'll be easily deceived if it's need. Do you understand? If it's need, then by you doing it, you're just keeping the need alive. It's like an addiction. It's just, I need you to do it more. I need it from another angle. And if I go through a season where I'm not getting it, now I'm in trouble. And all of a sudden, in the nick of time, somebody pulls through and affirms me. And I could even start saying, oh, God just knew I needed that. No, God knows you need Him. And you probably ought to stop looking this way and look up and know that He's been there all along. How's that? That's just straight. I'm not pulling punches. That's straight. Okay? Did you have your hand up, Mary?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to share this actually earlier, but it pretty much correlates with what you're talking about now. I understand Pastor Don shared a little bit about my father coming back in the area after like 24 years, which is a huge thing, especially in my life. My father was one of the people who really violated me growing up. And it took me a long time. I stayed in a place of identifying with that.
Right.
And took that on. And lived that life for so many years until I got the truth in me. And understood who I was and who God said I was and everything. I think I was like 28 years old. I picked up the phone one day and I called my dad. And I said, I forgive you. Because Jesus loves me, he forgave me. I need to forgive you and release you because he was in this prison all these years.
Right.
And it was really cool because on the phone he's crying and said, do you know how long I've waited to hear you forgive me? Because he wasn't able to do it for himself.
Right, because he's just bottled up and how, you know, because person, you understand what she's saying? Somebody can do something like that. It doesn't just lock them in for life as a wretched, miserable sex offender. Because after a while some people go, oh my God, what did I do? And they don't even know how to face what they did. And they live in the horror of that, in the prison of that for all those years.
And it was really cool because since then, he's been able to, well, the one time, here he called several years ago, and he said, hey, I've got good news. I just want to tell you I've gone back to my roots, and my dad was born and raised Catholic. I'm like, that's incredible because I believe that because I released him and set him free from that, it put him in a place to be able to hear your word and hear truth. And I've been able to speak word and truth into his life. It's just been really incredible to see the changes and the heart change in him and just totally open. Now, he's not really, like, sure how to handle me being ordained. It's a little weird. It wears him out a little bit. So he's like, when he comes around, he's, you know, it's kind of like he doesn't know quite how to behave in a sense. But it's good because I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for the restoration. I've been praying for it.
Maybe just explaining that to him if you're perceiving that he's having something like that, love what that really is and that doesn't, whether you were ordained or not, you're in Christ. Christ is in you, loves the same, where he's not stereotyping anything. Yeah. Doesn't change the truth. Yeah, but that's, well, no, that's some people see things that way. I rarely tell people I'm a pastor when I'm out because as soon as they know, they act different. As soon as they know. I was sitting at tables already and they figured out I was a pastor and the language changed immediately and they were just, and then they actually say terms like, well, God bless you or, hey, peace, man, or, and I'm like, come on. I was at a table with a bunch of guys and I'm like that. I don't want to see people just deceive themselves like that. I said, you guys gotta be kidding me, right? I said, just before you knew this, I heard you this and that and saying all this. Don't you put on that face and act like that. You're doing yourself a terrible injustice. You're teaching yourself to live shallow, man. I accosted all of them with that truth, man. I hit them with a big smile. You know, don't hear accost in a wrong way. What I mean is I attacked their mindset with truth because it was easy for them to sit there and shift gears as if all of a sudden they were all on page. There wasn't nothing Christian at the table at all. And all of a sudden they're like, dude, you're a pastor? Oh my goodness, wow. Well, praise the Lord. Wasn't that bad. But they all start talking polite. And I think somebody said, well, bless you or God willing. Or they started sounding spiritual. And I'm like, you guys need to knock it off, man. I said, if you just heard I was a pastor and you said that, I said, you know what that tells me? Here's how I'll talk to people. You know what that tells me? You're relating to what a man stands for and you're trying to honor that, but it means you don't even know God reality because God's here. But just because you know what I stand for and live for, now you're honoring that, but it proves to me that you need to, it's time to know Him, guys. And you can challenge, that's a seed that could change somebody's life. They could lay on their bed at night and realize, I don't even know God. That man was right. I honored his natural identity. But God was there before the man ever came to the table. I don't mess with somebody. Let me try to finish this. We're like scattergunning all kinds of little things. I hope you can get something out of something. I don't know. You better get the CD today, buddy. We're not locked in. See, I didn't bring my notes. Every happens every time I don't bring my notes. Yeah, we just go wherever. So let's do this. Therefore, if anyone, I'm reading this for the fifth time, probably, on purpose. If anyone is in Christ, who?
Anyone.
So don't exclude yourself. Man, we're notorious for that. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Why? Old things have. We have to stop ministering to the fact that, well, that's not my reality. Well, I still feel the repercussions of yesterday. Well, this and that. There's time for you to stand in relationship with God and begin to thank God that there's a grace on your life and that He's changing all things and He's swallowing up unhealthy emotions, unhealthy memories. He's taking away the marks and the stains of yesterday. God, you're removing them from my soul. I believe this gospel. I'm a new creature. You've changed my heart. I even have the capacity and forgiveness to forgive. Right, Mary? And I see see things now for the way they really are. If my dad knew you and knew the truth and knew the value of my life, he would have never been able to do what he did. God, help him and have mercy on him and help him to see who he is. Boop, boop, boop. Dad, I need to talk. You get it? Man, I hit that church this weekend so straight with some analogies on how much you'll find out how much your heart is in agreement with God or how much you're just a confessing Christian when things happen on the earth. I said, man, somebody rapes and kills a person's daughter and the church is almost picketing and God hates you or the death sentence or man, he better get his due or God get him, you know. And people are there's a testimony. I don't know who the lady is. She went to the jail. I read the whole article. It was just so beautiful. The man, the black gentleman, I didn't say that for any other reason than I think it was just the way God, it's just beautiful. This elderly little old elderly white lady and this black fella, and they minister together. He raped and killed her daughter. She went into the prison, like a life sentence thing, went in and said, I want to meet with him. They were through the glass. He couldn't look at her. He didn't even want to be there. She said, I need you to look at me, sir, and I want you to know I'm not in unforgiveness towards you. I cry for you. My daughter was a Christian. She's born again. The blood of Jesus has kept her for eternity. Well, I miss her, of course. I'm not here to condemn you for killing my daughter. I'm telling you there's something desperately wrong inside of you to misunderstand the value of human life and be able to do the thing you do. And my heart cries for you that you might be saved. I want you to know I love you. You don't see the value of your life. That's the mother of the daughter raped and killed. That's Christianity. Amen. Our sin killed his son. And now we're sons. Hello? Some of our sin was willful after the knowledge of truth. And we're still sons. Hello? See, we covet things at the cost of truth. And I yelled out to this church, I was overwhelmed with passion. I said, I'm not prophesying this, I'm using it as an example. I said, somebody kill and rape your daughter. And see what happens in your soul and you'll know and understand if you're perfected in love in that sense. God forbid we need to go through those kind of trials. But then I shared that testimony. People were bawling because they understood that the act is what marks people. Not the act of Jesus. And most people realize, especially the mothers are sitting there and the dads. You know. So this lady went, and she developed this relationship with this guy. He got radically, he was so freaked out by her. And God met him and he got totally transformed. And I think she even helped petition to get him out of jail. But they ministered. He was in jail a long, long time. But they became like best friends. They actually minister together and travel and preach what it means to love. And she stands beside the man that raped and killed her daughter because that's not the man.
That's right.
But it looks like him.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
This thing's real. Do you want to... We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians, I promise, because I need to try to finish that today. I don't want to milk that out till tomorrow. I mean, God help me. But now I'm going... We do have all week, though. But now I'm going to another chapter, so that's scary. I don't know. Go to chapter Matthew 24 real quick. I'm not going to read all this, okay? But they asked Jesus a question. What will be the sign of your coming in verse 3 and of the end of the age? I'm going to splice this, okay? I won't do injustice because I'm just skipping a lot of stuff that I don't need to expound on right now. Look how he started, verse 4. Take heed. Now watch. is real sober, man. I feel this in my heart. This is really sober. Take heed that no one deceives you. The only way you can be deceived is through the wisdom of the world, the way that seems right to a man. Believe in a lie. It's the only way. You got truth in front of you, and you start believing a lie. Be careful. No one deceives you. Look at verse 9. They'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and caused to stumble and will betray one another. Who's he talking about?
Everyone.
Thank you. That's good. It's not that the other answers were wrong, but he is talking about everyone. He's not talking just about the world because they're already offended and betraying. Hello? Watch. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. So there's a lot of hurt out there. There's a lot of people in the church running from church to church because they're hurt. You're sitting duck when you're hurt. Well, I'm just coming here for a season to be healed because we were down in such and such a state and we were just so hurt by the church, so we came here. It scares me every time I hear it. It concerns me for the people. First of all, the capacity to be hurt, the agreement, just the mind that permits you to even be in that state. Because here's my question. How can you go to a place and be healed and not project back on the place you're saying is hurt because you found fault there, you found weakness? Without getting resolved there, without releasing, without seeing it in a selfless way, how could you ever truly get resolved there? Because by being healed here, now this is the place where the kingdom is flowing, and I came here to get healed. How can there still not be a glitch and a clitch when you hear that name of that ministry, and all of a sudden your story comes out of your lips? Oh yeah, but I think God's doing a good work there, but there was years ago, it wasn't like that. I remember, man, we really got hurt there. I hear that stuff all the time. It's just literally, it just rolls out of people's lips when I travel. It's like their story. Watch. Watch the progression of this. Many will be offended, betray one another, and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. Why? Because they're in a place to be deceived. Because they're not his sheep hearing his voice anymore. They've lost identity. They've got hurt and issues. So all of a sudden there's a certain language that's acceptable and sounds right to a man. So the false prophet, that means the false teachings. Don't just think it's people. It's just mindsets and dialogues and dialects. Don't just get rigid and limited to a certain man rising up preaching blasphemies, deceiving the world. The condition of men's hearts is offended and hating one another. The Bible says when you hate, you're in darkness till now. So if you're in darkness, there's no light. So when somebody speaks, if you hear through the hurt and pain, it'll make sense to you. It'll even add fuel to the fire. It'll even give you a right. So watch this. This is heavy. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness abounds. Look at the reason. Oh my goodness, get this. Because lawlessness abounds. The love of many. Some Bibles say most. The love of many will grow cold. Why? Because you reserve the right to be offended. It's right there. Why do they grow cold? Because of lawlessness. What's their reason and excuse? Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, what do you expect? They just raped and killed my daughter. And where was God? And I thought he was here to protect me. Where was God? How come he didn't protect me? I prayed for my little girl my whole life, and why is she dead? She's not dead. You hearing me? I'm not being insensitive and mean right now. I'm being real. Because there's a language that says, yeah, but, and lawlessness abounds, and it costs you your love. It costs you your identity, your purpose, the reason you're alive in the first place. Everything is designed to wipe out and erase the real you. And the biggest tool right here is lawlessness. Well, I can't believe they did that. Well, why is God letting this happen? Well, why doesn't he shut them down? Well, why doesn't he... All of a sudden, God's the issue, people are the issue, and all you are is a hurting, lonely person now. And your love has grown, what? Watch this. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That word, that doesn't just mean go to heaven. It means saved, healed, delivered, protected, and preserved. Made whole, kept safe and sound. You know what the word endures means? To hold one's ground in conflict, to bear up against adversity, to hold out under stress and stand firm, to persevere under pressure, to wait calmly and courageously. It's not a passive resignation to fate or mere patience, but the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows claim and brave endurance. Come on. Endure. Very active and aggressive. You know what that means? That means when your heart even gets tempted to yield to lawlessness in a person's life and take the effects of lawlessness into your soul. Father, I thank you my war is not flesh and blood. I thank you that when I became a Christian, I died to myself and I'm alive unto you. And I thank you for your amazing love for them right now. I thank you, God, if they had any idea what they, who you were and blah, 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 they wouldn't have, and why? You're going after at least that thing whispered to you all night long. And then you repeat it to somebody. And then they go, and the best strength they have is, oh my God, you're kidding me, Dick. They what? They did what? Well, how can they possibly, you're kidding me. It's amazing God even allowed, I don't even understand, Dick, that, and man, you're so awesome. Well, Dick, you've never done anything to hurt, why would he even do that? I can't believe he did that. Yeah, I know, I was thinking about it all night. I was like, man. I mean, you see how it works? It just keeps building. And all of a sudden, because it's the Bible's so powerful. It's so our help in a time of need. Gives us every reason why to be okay. Because lawlessness abounds. You need to guard your heart against the effects of lawlessness. Because lawlessness abounds. What did that lady do that went to the prison? She understood that. She understood that darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. But the light is upon you. What's God saying in Isaiah 60? Get your eyes off the people and off the darkness and what they're doing and shine. Hello? Or you're just another hurt, offended, confessing Christian that goes to church and takes up a seat. Sorry. I just had to get that in there. In other words, I'm not saying that in a mean way. What I mean is you're carrying the form of godliness, but denying that power to flow through your life. So you're a confessing Christian that goes to church when you're called to be the church. Don't you be reduced to that. Is it okay if I talk that sharp? You all right? Okay. Man, that took a lot of our time right there. This might be to be continued. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5 real quick. I got 5 minutes. I can maybe read two or three words. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have to settle that. That's a done deal. You grow into that through intimacy and prayer. Now watch, verse 18. Now all things, the all things that are new, the all things that are new. Now look at what the very next verse says. God writes the words so amazing. He's the best writer on the planet. Now all things are of God. So everything new, it's all the will of God. Your new recreated value, redemption, forgiveness, mercy, the Spirit of God in you. A brand new destiny. It's all from God. It's all the will of God. In other words, if it wasn't true, if it wasn't God's heart, He'd have never sent His Son and opened the door to you. That's right. It's all of Him. It says He called you. He justified you. He predestined you. He glorified you. What shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? Amen. He did it. Because He knows the truth about us. Come on. Now all things are what? New. Of God. And they're all of God. Who has. Watch what He. Who has. Not who is. Hello, I'm being straight and loud and emotional on purpose because I want to knock anything out of our soul that says anything less. I'd like to preach in a way that makes anything less sound foolish. It doesn't say he is reconciling. He has reconciled. You have been made a friend to God. Period. Look, you can get frustrated with the passion and emotion in a person. You can get hungry for it and want it, but feel like it's not yours. Or you can just get mad and frustrated. The only reason you see in me right now what you see in me is because that's true. Yeah. Period. I'm not trying to be a friend. I am. I'm not trying to live reconciled. I am reconciled. So of course I'm going to live reconciled. Are you following me? That just might be too simple, we say. No, stop that. Just don't give yourself permission to be so complex. Hello? Well, Dan, I heard this before. Well, Dan, that's just too simple. It can't be that simple. It is that simple. You were never made to be that complex. That came when the stranger's voice added to the simplicity of what God said. It's right here. Yak, 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 yak. Yeah, but, you know, but well, but yeah, but if God really, but you know, if God didn't want it, well, shh. Now all things are of God who has reconciled. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand. I mean, some people, they're walking in wolf. I mean, and all of a sudden you create this whole big complex paragraph and scenario and miss the whole point of what God's saying for your personal life. And if we'll become this and preach this from a place of reality, it'll carry an anointing and reproduce itself in the hearts of men. Watch, you're going to see it. It's undeniable. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of that same reconciliation. Come on, you're supposed to be reconciled to God, be made a friend to God. Yeah, but I this and that. Yeah, me too. But see, it's the love that puts integrity in you. It's God's willingness to forgive you and show you mercy that makes you honor him. I don't want to miss God. I'm in a relationship of love. I'm not doing anything to hinder that. I love this. The person of God puts diligence in me and restores honor back in me. This message disciplines me. Do you get it? But if you don't receive it, it's such a free gift. We're so busy. Oh, no, you shouldn't have. Oh, why? I don't deserve that. Oh, why? Oh, no. We've lived that way most of us our whole life. There's some qualities that God can take and make strength in the body of Christ. There's people, her daddy Todd, he lived a certain way and was used to getting things from people. And he told me, I was a master manipulator and so. You tell Todd you want to bless him, he like, thank God. He'll call you up and wonder when. Todd will do that. It's actually a healthy thing. Yes. It's called receiving the free gift and the abundance of grace. Most people say, oh no, you don't need to do that for me, man. No, you don't even know. The reason some people get blessed so much is because they're in position to just be blessed. And they're just saying, yay, God. How much have we struggled receiving because we didn't do anything to earn it, deserve it? Welcome to the gospel. I had a guy in a rehab house, he wanted to know where to buy a thing. He said, is there such thing as the Bible on CD and stuff? I said, this is years ago. I said, yeah. I said, are you kidding? I said, he said, man, I need to get one of them, play it at work, get the word in me. I said, are you kidding? I said, open the glove box. He opens it up and I said, open that black case. I said, is that what you're talking about? Oh my gosh, that's exactly what I said, yeah, now that's New Testament. I said, that's really what you'd want. I said, well, there you go, man. That was a quickly answered prayer. He said, what do you mean? I wasn't even praying for this. I just said I need to go get one, but he didn't have the money and he was telling me. I said, well, no, it's in your hands. It's yours. Well, no, it's yours. I said, no, it's yours. You're holding it. It's yours. Oh, no, I can't take this from you. I can't get... I said, you're kidding. What are you talking about? No, I've never been good at receiving. I said, that's a shame. You're going to make a lousy Christian. That's just what I said to him. I said, well, then that's a shame. He said, don't say that. That's what he said. Don't say that. I want to make it here. I'm trying to get my life together. I said, well, if you can't receive, you're going to be a terrible Christian. I'm just telling you. Because it's all about the free gift and the abundance of grace. You don't deserve a thing you got in the kingdom. How do you think you got where you're at right now? How do you think the Spirit of God came in you? Because you passed a test? See, if you accept that kind of gift, it'll give you so much honor towards the giver.
Amen. That's right.
That it'll line your life up to Him. The reason we aren't impressed by Him so much, we haven't received the abundance of His grace and the free gift. So we don't appreciate the heart that's crying out from heaven, I love you! And it becomes an Easter story or a Christmas story. Come on, I'm nailing this thing. I feel born again. We're late. We got to finish this tomorrow. Father, I'm late. I'm feeling happy. Is this good?
Yeah.
There's something we need to nail though tomorrow. We'll just go and we'll see where we go. But Father, we just thank you for the word and we just thank you that we are reconciled. We have been reconciled. We're friends to you and we're accepting that. We're new creations. And you know what? Old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. Father, we accept and we believe it. You've panned for gold. And you found some. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen?
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.